We're here on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, counting up from the bottom of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up. We've already established as far as the Midos of the Mizbeach that they're not Ma'akev, but we did say that there were certain limitations, and the Gemara explains, Midas Arko, Midas Rochbo, Umidas Kamosein Ma'akvin, if he changes the midos of the Mizbeach, and he doesn't build the Mizbeach in a perfect, accurate, precise measurement as it was meant to be, ein ma'akfim bo, nevertheless, the Mizbeach is kosher, but Omer Avmani, there's a certain limitation rule, bilvad shelo yifchasenu mi'mizbeach she'asa Moshe Rabbeinu. The very barest minimum size is the smaller Mizbeach, that of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes in the Mishkan, and a Mizbeach cannot be smaller than those Midos of the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So when the Brisa says that the length, the width, the height is not Ma'akev in terms of the numbers, and the precise measurements are not critical, but nevertheless, there is one minimum requirement, meaning he can add beyond the size of the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it cannot be smaller than the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. What we learned yesterday was that the maximum size, the ceiling size of the Mizbeach would be Shishim Amah, would be 60 Amah. And we're going to soon see that the smaller size, the minimum size, is going to be 1 Amah. So it means that as far as the size, the godel of the Mizbeach, it could be anywhere between 1 Amah and 60 Amah. As far as the height is concerned, it should not be higher than the gova, the Mizbeach of Moshe. It should be at least a minimum of 10 Amos high. In other words, it shouldn't be, I meant to say, any lower down, any smaller than the minimum size of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, which was 10 Amos. V'kama, now the Gemara wants to clarify what was the size of the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, because that sets the minimum shear. Amar of Yosef, Amma, 1 square Amma. And the Gemara now tells, Machku Alei. When Rav Yosef made the statement, they kind of laughed about it. How could he say that the shear is an Amma square? The Torah says in Shmos Chav Zayin, Vasisa Samizbeach, Atzei Shitim, Chamesh Amos Orech, V'chamesh Amos Rochav, Ravua Yeh Hamizbeach. So it seems that the minimum shear of the Mizbeach would have to be 5 Amos square, not 1 Amos square. Amalei Abai, Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, Dilma Mekom Marocha Ka'omar Mar, perhaps what you had in mind was the place that is beyond the minimum shear for the Marocha, meaning the minimum shear as far as the Mizbeach is concerned, certainly is 5 Amos on 5 Amos. And it had a hekev of an external Amma, which would be an extra additional space for the Marocha itself. And this is called what we call a hekev Amma Chitzona. In other words, this is beyond the 5 Amos. And this Hekev Amma was designated for, as we discussed yesterday, at the end of the shir, the Hiluch Ragle HaKohanim. So then, if we needed a certain area, Hekev, as we said before, of an Amma Chitzona, so by suggesting Enu Chinami, the Mizbeach was certainly 5 Amos square, but the outer Amma was where the chronos, the corners of the Mizbeach, were located, that we said yesterday are sort of like blocking the halicha. So you need another hekev in order to have enough room for the Hiluch Ragle HaKohanim, and that takes off another Amma, and then what you're left with for a Makom HaRocha is a smaller Shetach, which is what Rav Yosef was referring to when he said it was an Amma on Amma. Omer Lei, so Rav Yosef says to Abaye, Mar Degavra Rabahu, you who are a great man, Yoda Maika Imna, you understood what I meant to avoid, but Kari Alaya, but those people who laughed at me, I would speak about them as Bnei Keturah. In Breishis Chaf Hei, it says about Avraham Avinu that he married a woman whose name was Keturah, and she had many, many children, many sons, and the Mefarshim say that there are a number of different Rimazim allusions here. Why did he call these people with this kinui of Bnei Keturah? As if to say, although you are Bnei Avram, but your actions are not typical of the Zera of Yitzchak and Yaakov, as if you came from the Bnei Keturah. This was a little bit of a pejorative say, a jive that he said back to them for laughing at him. The Gemara tells another mice which is relevant to our case, Bnei Achte, the nephews through the sister of Rabbi Tarfon, Haviyasve Kameh, was sitting in front of Rabbi Tarfon, and they weren't saying a word. So Rabbi Tarfon wanted to sort of stimulate and arouse their curiosity. Pasach v'yomar, he opened up with a pasuk, and he changed the pasuk to see if they would wake up. And he says, Vayosef Avram Vayikach Isha Ushma Yochani. Now, in truth, her name was not Yochani, her name was Keturah, Amrulei. So the sons of his sister said, they piped up and they said, Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah. Uncle, you made a mistake, Ksiv. Is Kari Alayus or Vitarfon called them Bnei Keturah because... because your knowledge of Torah is so limited that you didn't know how to speak to me in Torah, you're like the Bnei Keturah. Again, the Bnei Keturah are still, to some extent, you know, related to or similar to Bnei Yisrael in the sense that the Rambam Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Paskins that the Bnei Keturah chayv in Mila, they're not excluded from the mitzvah of Mila, as are other nations. But you're not like Bnei Yisrael, you're like Bnei Keturah. Your knowledge of Torah is not up to par. Now the Gemara brings different halachas regarding what's called gzire eitzim, and these were the wood, this was the wood that was brought on the Mizbeach, and its measurements, Omer Abaye, Barhuna Omerav, Chama Barguria, Shnei Gzirein, Sha'asa Moshe Rabbeinu, Lemarocha b'mizbech shebimishkan. These, bundles of eitzim that we used for the marocha at the time Moshe Rabbeinu, they were orchan amma v'rochvan amma. They were one amma long and one amma wide. And the reason why they made this was, I guess, lechavod. And Ovyam Kimachak. And their thickness was that of a machak. That's a kli, that's a certain vessel that is used to erase things or to flatten things. Godesh saw. And the godesh of the kli is a saw. We'll see exactly what godesh means as we go along. And a saw is one of the midos of what we call nefach, and that's what they used at the time of Chazal. A saw has the same size as shisha kavim and 24 lugim, or Mea Arboy V'Arba, 144 Beitzim. So it was known to them there was a kli that they used for Mechika, or Liasher et Hagodesh, to flatten a surface on top of a kli, that had the capacity of containing a volume of a saw. And the thickness of the Eitzim was like the shear of the ovio, of the thickness of that particular kli, which is called a machak. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah says that with regard to this midah, that we said the measurement of the Gzirei Eitzim, that they were an Amma, he says, Ba'ama Gduma, this is the smaller Amma. In other words, that Gidem, which means a stump or a midget, so to speak, is the smaller Amma. And this is the Amma which the Gemara says in Erevin is only 5 Tfachim, as opposed to the regular classical Amma, which is 6 Tfachim. And Rabbi Yirmiyah identifies the Amma of the Gzirei Eitzim as the Amma Gduma, the Ktsara, the smaller Amma, which is only 5 Tfachim. Now the reason why they used a smaller Amma is because they didn't want the Gzirei Eitzim to jut out beyond the Marocha, because that would interrupt and interfere with the Kohanim as they walked around the Marocha. And therefore, they would be Makatzer, they would shorten the size of the Eitzim, so that it wouldn't interfere with the halicha of the Kohen. He writes here, in the name of Tosfos and other Rishonim, that Gam im yeh begodol hamarocha bediuk, even if the size of the Eitzim, the length of the wood on the Eish, would be exactly the same as the Eish itself, nevertheless, the Kohanim asuyim lifgoa bahem be'ovram b'samach lahem. It still would be possible that the Kohanim would trip or get scratched, and therefore they wanted to shorten the width of the Eitzim. Rashi says, Dibra maskel ba'omer shelo yetzu chutz lamarocha. In other words, that the Eitzim should not reach all the way till the end, the far boundary, the outer boundary of the Marocha. Omar Rav Yosef, V'lav hanu desanya, didn't we already have this in a Braisa, that Darshan's Apostle at the beginning of Vayikra V'yarchu B'nei Aaron HaKohanim Es HaNesachim Es HaGosh V'es HaPoder Al HaEitzim Asher Al HaEish Asher al Mizbeach. So from the fact that the Torah says that the Eitzim are on the Eish on the Mizbeach, we darshan shelo yu Eitzim yotzim min hamizbeach klum. In other words, they shouldn't jut out beyond the outer boundary of the Marocha of the Eish. And it's very possible that according to this Braisa, this the size of the Marocha, Godel Amarocha, Bidyuk, exactly. And therefore, we should derive from this Braisa that the Amma that we spoke about is Mitzumtzemes and Miduyekes. It would be precise, exactly an Amma, the Amma of 6 Tfachim, and it would not have to be the Amma Giduma that we spoke about in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria. So we have then two opinions exactly what the size of the Gzirei Eitzim. Are we talking about Gzirin that are 6 Tfachim or 5 Tfachim? The Gemara now wants to know exactly what is the location of the Kevesh. And we said before the Kevesh, which is the ramp through which on which the Kohanim would ascend onto the Mizbeach, and it was obviously on an incline. There were no Madregos, because the Torah says, "V'lo sale b'malos al mizbech yasher lo skaler v'oscha lecha." And now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Tanan Hasam, a Mishnah, the third parak of Midos, Kevesh, Hoya, the Kevesh was on the Tzad Dromi, Shel HaMizbeach, the southern side of the Mizbeach. And this is in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Mishkan, it was a little bit different. So what were the Midos of the Kevesh? Orech, the length of the Kevesh, going up the ramp was Shloshim Mishtaim Amo, was 32 Amos, and the Rochav was Sheshisre Amo, was 16 Amos wide. Minoni Mili, from whence do we know this? How do we know that the Kevesh stood in the south, and Dafka in the south? The Gemara says, Amar Avhuna Makra, the Pasuk says, the beginning of Vayikra, B'shachat Osal Yerech HaMizbeach Tzofona. And the simple meaning of the Pasuk is that he should shecht the carbon, meaning a carbon ola, on the side of the Mizbeach, on the northern side of the Mizbeach. And now we're going to darshan the phrase Yerech HaMizbeach, that the Torah sort of used a mashal, if you will, and compared the Mizbeach to a Yerech, which is the leg of a person, and a Kevesh, therefore, Kevesh is where the legs, where the walking went, and then you faced at the end of this walk the face of the Mizbeach, the countenance, so to speak, of the Mizbeach. So we go up the ramp to the Mizbeach, and he's facing the ponim, the face of the Mizbeach, and the Pasuk says, Yerech HaMizbeach Tzafona, and the drash of Rav Huna is, Shehei Yerech Batzafon. Since it says Tzafona, it means the leg should move from the south towards the north. Uponov Badorov. Now, it's the Kevesh is like a face, so to speak, and it's the south, like as if a person was lying on the earth, on the ground, and his feet are in the north, and his face is towards the south. So the Gemara says, Ema, but perhaps you can argue, Yorech Batzafon Uponov Batzafon. For example, if a person is sitting in an upright position and his legs are facing the north, then his face is also facing the Tzafon. So Gemara answers, Amar Rava, Rami Gavra Aape. Put a person down on his face. In other words, we should be Mekayim the Drasha that we saw in the name of Rav Huna regarding a person who's lying down on his face. Omale Abai, Abai turns to Rav and he says, Adarav, on the contrary, Toretz vi Osev Gavra. Why not sit up a person biz Kufa? And that's how a person should be sitting. So why are you Mekayim this Drasha in the case of a person who's laying down? Why not a person who's sitting Bekomas Kufa? Omale, so Rav answers, Ravuak Siv. Since the Pasuk says, V'yasisas HaMizbeach Atzei Shitim Chamesh Amos Orech V'chamesh Amos Rochav Ravua Yeh HaMizbeach, we're going to dash the word Ravua. Ravua is an Aramaic word that the Mizbeach and the Kevesh should be like an Adam, like a person who's down on his knees, he's lying on the ground, and that's called Ravua B'loshan Aramis. So the Gemara asks, Abai turns to Rav and he says, Vami boile dimarabea ribuye. Why are you taking the word Ravua out of context? We need Ravua kipshuto to tell us that the Mizbeach has to be exactly square. It cannot be circular or rectangular. So how can you derive from this that the Mizbeach is like an Adam rovates, couch kind of position? So Rava answered Abaye, Miksiv Miruba, if the Pasuk was only telling us about the 90 degree angles on the four sides of the Mizbeach, making it into a perfect square, then it should have said Ribua. Why did it say Miruba? From the fact that it uses this word Miruba, we darshan that it's Miloshen Ravitza. And now Abai turns back to Rav and he says, "Utaimech." And according to your logic, how can you tell me? How can you prove to me that the pasuk is talking about a lashon revitza? He's couched down on the ground, because it doesn't say Ravua, but rather it says Meruba, I would ask the following question, says Abaye, Miksiv Ravutz. You know, if the Torah wanted to say that we're talking about a position of Ravitza, then the Torah could have used the word Ke'odom Ravetz or Ravutz, and the Torah only used the word Ravua, and this proves that it's coming telling us that the Mizbech has to be Meruba, it has to be square. You cannot use it as a drasha, therefore, for an Adam Ravutz Amalei. So Rava responds to Abaye, doesn't it say Ravua, Ravua Ksiv? It doesn't say Meruba, it doesn't say Ravutz. Demashmahachi. The Torah wants to give us two different implications. Number one, by using the word Ravua, not Rovetz, wants to tell us that the size of the Mizbeach, the shape of the Mizbeach, is that it's square. But on the other hand, since it doesn't say Ravua, but it says Meruba, it's coming to teach me, like a person in a Rovetz position, so we dash in both. It's got to be Mizbeach Meruba and also Adam Ravutz. Now the Gemara brings a second source, an alternative source for the fact that the Kevesh is in the south. V'tana maisi le'mihocha. The Taina of Abraisa derives the din of Kevesh b'Dorom from the Pasuk Desanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It says with regard to the Mizbeach in the prophecy of Yechezkel in Perek Yud Mem Gimel of Yechezkel, Umaloseho Pinos Kodim, meaning the stairs, but there are no stairs getting up to the Mizbeach, so therefore it's a reference to the Kevesh, should be constructed in a way shekol pinos shatapon eloyu el derech yamin lemizrach, that whenever a person turns, he should always turn towards the right side, and by doing so, if you set up the kevesh on the south side and only on the south side, then you can turn towards the right. By putting the Kevesh in that way, he goes up the Kevesh, he turns right, and he's on the Mizrach side. So the Gemara asks, V'ema smol l'mizrach. Maybe when he turns, he should turn towards the left and arrive at the Mizrach, which would mean that the Kevesh does not have to be in the south. It could also be in the north, in a way that when he climbs up the Kevesh, he turns to the left, and that's where he finds the Mizrach. So the Gemara answers, Lo Salka Daitach. That's not a possibility. The Tani, we have halacha of Rami Bar Yechezkel, Yom Sha'asa Shlomo, this apostle Yedivra Yomim, Omed Al Shneimasar Bakar, and we'll soon see what this word Yom means. Is Shlosha Ponim Tzafona, Ushlosha Ponim Yoma, Ushlosha Ponim Negba, Ushlosha Ponim Mizracha. The Yam is what we call a receptacle, a Kli Kibul. It's a very large one, and it keeps water, it holds water in it. It was made of copper of Nechoshes. It stood in the Beis HaMikdash. And this Yam served the function of Tfilas Kohanim for mikvah, in order to be mitar them. In the Yerushalmi, there's a diun. Why isn't there a psul of Mayim She'uvim in this Kli? And now the Pasuk mentions Bakar. That's a dmus of Bakar. And on this dmus, this image of a of cattle, the yam stood. But in any event, the pasuk says that when it says kadim, you see in the pasuk, let's see it again, it says, Chezkel says, Maloseu Pinos Kodim, in other words, that you turn Kodim, and that teaches us Shekol Pinos Shatapone in the Avodas HaMikdash, wherever you turn, Lo Yu El Derech Yamin, it should only be towards the right side, Limizrach. because since the pasuk here in Divrei Yomim says Shlosha Ponim Tzafona, no, it's the first direction that's mentioned here in the pasuk is Tzafon, and then it goes to Marov, and after Marov it goes Negbo, which is towards the south. So you started with the north, you went to the west, and then finally south. And then you turn towards the Mizrach, towards the east. So it means the person is going around all these stadim in a circle, and he's always ponov, ponos, he's always looking face forward towards that objective that he wants to get to. So he's always going towards the right. And that teaches us that his pnios should be derech yamin. And since it says kadim in the pasuk, we understand that pnios would be towards the mizrach. And that makes sense if you climb up the kevesh from the south and you turn right towards the mizrach. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that that's the meaning of the pasuk? When hahumi boile ligufe, I need the pasuk to teach me exactly how this kli, this vessel, which is called the Yam Shel Shlomo, how did it sit? And how do you know, therefore, that this pasuk can teach me that when you're walking around, in order to do the Avodas HaMikdash, you always turn towards the right? And the Gemara answers him, Cain, if the pasuk is only coming to describe the Yam Shel Shlomo, but not to teach us the Seder HaPnios, the way he goes from one side to the other, turning towards the right, is then ponim, ponim lomali. Why did the Torah have to repeat the word ponim again? As we saw in the pasuk, it says shlosha ponim, ushlosha ponim, ushlosha ponim, shlosha ponim, over and over again. And that superfluous language of ponim is coming to teach us about all the pnios in the Avodas HaMikdash. Wherever you turn, you should always turn towards the right. Now the Gemara quotes a braisa as to the proximity between the kevesh and the mizbeach. Shal Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi ben Lekonia, that's a pretty unique name, Lekonia. He was actually in the last generation of Tanoim. He's mentioned in the Sugyan Bechoros. He was also a Kohen, and he was a Kodol Adar. In the Sefer Yuchsin, he's quoted as being a Dayan in the Bezdin of Rebbe HaKadosh. That's not bad. In any event, he said the following. Let's ask Rabbi Yossi, what did Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say about the Avir? Ha'im Omer Hoya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai She'Avir Yesh Bein Kevesh L'Mizbeach, meaning this airspace that separates between the ramp and the Mizbeach in such a way that the ramp does not actually touch the Mizbeach. It's a little bit distant from the Mizbeach. Again, even though the Gemara is going to have a limud without this limud, we know that there was definitely avir, airspace, between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach. They weren't exactly touching each other. As the Gemara is going to mention later on in the sugya, with regard to the Kvashim on the Yesod and the Sovev, they weren't mechubarim, they weren't directly connected to the Mizbeach, because there must be a hekev of avir, airspace, completely around the Mizbeach. But nevertheless, the pasuk here that we're about to learn about, the drasha, is coming to teach us that we need a larger hefresh, a larger separation of airspace. It's got to be nikar, that it's the tzorech avir, so therefore they would distance it a little bit more. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yossi tells Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi, v'ata i'ata omer kein, don't you realize that there was avir between the kevesh and the mizbech, lo kvar nemar, the pasuk says in Dvarim Yud Beis, v'asisa olosecha habasar v'adam, there's a hekish here in this pasuk between basar and dam, and we darshan it in the following way, ma dam, in the case of ola, where the dam of the ola is sprinkled onto the mizbeach, bizrika, and it's not done through shvicha, but rather through zrika, because it says v'zarkos adam al mizbeach af basar. When the basar is being brought onto the mizbeach, again we're talking about the basar ola. It's got to be bizrika. The kohen would stand on the kevesh, and he would throw the basar of the ola on top over this airspace in order to reach the top part of the mizbeach, onto the maracha of the mizbeach. So it means the kohen would stand, the dam was in his hand, and he would be zorik the dam over the avra of the mizbeach. Omar lo, so Rav Shimon responds to this question of Rabbi Yossi, and he says that I also darsh in the hekesh, and I know that the basar needs zrika. But I don't derive from this that there was an airspace between the kevesh and the mizbeach. Shani Omer, Omer b'tzad amarocha, v'zorek. That what the pasuk is teaching us in this hekesh tadam is that the kohen would stand next to the marocha on top of the mizbeach, and yet he would be zorek. He would throw the basar onto the marocha, onto the fire. But it doesn't prove that he's standing on the kevesh. Amalos Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not the way to learn the pasuk, but rather kshu zorek, when he threw the basar, lemarocha dluka hu zorek, o lemarocha she'ena dluka hu zorek. You have two logical possibilities. Is the fire going, or is the fire not going yet? Heavy omer, certainly, lemarocha dluka hu zorek. In other words, he cannot set up the basar onto the dry wood when there's no fire burning there. It must be that there's already a fire burning there when he puts the basar on it. So he's putting the basar onto the place that where there's a fire burning. And hasam ma shu zorek is mishum delo efshar. In other words, in such a case where the fire is burning high, he cannot place it on the fire. He has no choice but to throw it onto the fire. So I don't need a hekesh for that. That's obvious that he needs a zrika onto the esh. Otherwise he'll burn his hands. Therefore the hekesh must come, by definition, must be coming to tell me a different type of din of zrika. Not a physical reality of or necessity of zrika, but rather halacha of zrika, that the kohen should stand on the kevesh and throw the basar onto the fire. And that means that there was an avre, there was airspace between the kevesh and the mizbeach. That's the way Rabbi Yossi interpreted the hekesh. Rav Papa Amar, he's not willing to interpret the way Rav Shimon ben Yossi interpreted, that the hekesh is coming to teach you that the kohen would stand on the side of the marocha and throw the basar onto the fire. The kohen is not standing, says Rav Papa, on the side of the marocha, as if to say he's standing on the gag hamizbeach, but rather this hekesh between basar and dam, and from this hekesh we derive zrikas basar, is meant to tell us that ki dam, that basar is like dam, ma dam, in this case is rikas adam, avir karka hazora mafsiko, there's a hefsek between him and the mizbeach by virtue of the avir karka, the avir on top of the azora, is af so too in rikas basar, when he throws the basar onto the marocha, there's got to be avir karka hazora mafsiko, the airspace from the karka, from the azor itself, is mafsik, and that can only be understood or implemented if he's standing on the kevesh and he's throwing it onto the mizbeach, and there's avra between it. The Gemara now brings a statement of Rabbi Yehuda that the avir was also between the mizbeach and the kvashim aktanim. Om Rabbi Yehuda, shnei kvashim ktanim hoyotzim in a kevesh. So there's one larger ramp that the kohenim took to ascend up to the gag, the floor of the mizbeach, the top of the mizbeach. But there were also two smaller rams that came out of the larger ram, so like tributaries, Shebahem Ponim LaYisod LeSovev. One of them went out of the Kevesh towards the western side, and it went in a diagonal towards the Yisod. And the purpose of that smaller Kevesh was so that the Kohen could go down this smaller Kevesh on his way down from the Mizbeach, and then he could pour the Shiori Adam of a Chatos onto the Yisod. And the second tributary, so to speak, went from the Mizrach HaKevesh, from the eastern side, and turned in a diagonal towards the Sovev, and that's where the Kohanim were able to do Avdu al HaSovev. So the only access towards the Sovev, there was no other access except for this small Kevesh that came out on the from the big Kevesh on the eastern side, and that's how the Kohanim got access to the Sovev to do the Avodah on the Sovev. And these two Kvashim were Muvdolim min HaMizbeach, in other words, they were separated from the Yisod and the Sovev, Mole Nema. The shear was a very small thread, what we call Kechut HaSaira, if you're familiar with that phrase. In other words, they weren't connected, but rather they needed this Havdolah, the separation, Mishum Shenemar, because the Torah says at the beginning of Vayikra, V'zorku es Adam ala Mizbeach Saviv, and what we're going to darshan is that you need that the Mizbeach should have a Hekev, something that surrounds the entire Mizbeach without anything else. If the Kvashim were Mechubarim, if they would be connected to the Mizbeach, both at the Yisod and the Sovev, that it would not be possible to call it a Hekev Misaviv, and therefore they would have to separate a Kechut HaSaira, and in that way, the Mizbeach had a Hekev Saviv. Rabbi Avo Amar, he says that we should derive the conclusion that they were Muvdolim from that which it says in the Mizbeach in Shmos Chav Zayin, V'yosisas ha-Mizbeach atzei shitim chamesh ha-mos orav chamesh ha-mos rochav ravua yeh ha-Mizbeach. And if the Kvashim would be directly attached without any separation to the Yisod and the Sovev, then the Mizbeach would not be ravua, because this is a part of the Mizbeach that it's attached permanently to the Mizbeach and juts out. The Gemara wants to know, do we need both Psukim v'Itzrich? We need two Psukim. Number one, Itzrich l'michtav, as far as the Mizbeach is concerned, Saviv. V'Itzrich l'michtav, we also need Ravua. And even though both Psukim really come to the same conclusion to teach us that there's nothing connected to the Mizbeach, but nevertheless, I need both the Ikos of Rachmana. If the Torah had only said Soviv, Hava Mina Diogil Miagil, is therefore the Torah had to say Ikos Rachmana Rabua. Notice Mizbeach could be circular without any angles on its corners, and therefore we need the Pasuk Ravua to teach us no, it has to be a square. The Ikos of Rachmana Ravua, if the Torah had only given us the square, Hava Mina Diorich Diarich Vekatin, that you can make the Mizbeach a certain length on one side, very long, and on the other side, it would be tsar, it would be shorter, which would be a rectangular shape. Therefore, Kosev Rachmona Saviv, to tell you that Kol Svivos of Shavinless is that all the sides are equal to each other, that could only be in a square. So Saviv teaches us that the Tzidei HaMizbeach HaShavim, Ravua teaches us that each Zavis has to be a 90-degree angle and not circular. Each one of these two limudim will teach us that the same conclusion, that you cannot attach anything to the Mizbeach. If you attach something to the Mizbeach, it's no longer Ravua, or it doesn't have Saviv. The Gemara now wants to know what the size of the Kevesh, the larger Kevesh, is, and what about the smaller Kvashim? Tanan Hasa, we learned in a Mishnah of Midos Perkei, HaKevesh VaMizbeach, together, if you connect them, was Shishim Ushtayim Amah. Was 62 Amah. The Gemara now right away asks, Hani Shitim Ve'arba Havu. In other words, the Kevesh and the Mizbeach were not together 62 Amah, but rather 64 Amah. Because each one has an Orach of 32 Amah. And if you multiply 32 Amah by 2, you end up with 64 Amah. Again, this is all in the third parak of Masechtin Midos. And the conclusion here is that the total size of the Kevesh and the Mizbeach was 64 Amos. How, therefore, could the Mishnah possibly say that the Kevesh and the Mizbeach was 62 Amos? So the Gemara answers, Nimtza Poreach Amo Al Hayisod V'Amo Al Hasovev. That both the Sovev and the Yisod would project out of the Mizbeach, or Boltim, each one a shear of an Amah. So the Kevesh stood on the ground, very close to the Yisod. Then it went up the Avir, up the airspace, until it reached the Gaga Mizbeach, and it covered the Yisod and the Sovev. So you have to add two Amos from the Mizbeach that included here in the Kevesh. And that gives you the number 62 Amah. And the discrepancy here between 62 and 64 is attributed to these two extra Amos that were necessary in order to set up the Sovev and the Yisod, which would project, would jut out from the Mizbeach, each one a shear of an Amah. Now we turn to Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Omar Rami Bar Chama Kol Kivshei Kvasim. In other words, the Kvashim Gdolim and the Ketanim that were there, the smaller ones that branched out, the Mida of their incline was Shalosh Amos, was three Amos long, Li Arba, going up one Amah in height, and this three Amos of, every time you went up Shalosh Amos, then with the incline going up towards the Mizbeach, you would add another Amah to the Gova. So the ratio is one Amah Gova to three Amos of Orech. Every three Amos, because of the incline, you would have to add another a height of one Amah. Chutz Mikivsho Shel Mizbeach. That's the Kevesh HaGadol. And we're talking about the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. As far as the Kevesh in the Mishkan, that was different midos. What was the size of the Kivsho Shel Mizbeach, the Kevesh HaGadol? Shehoya, it had an Orech of Sholosh Amos Umechza, the Etzba Ushlish Etzba Bizichrusa. Zichrusa is a reference to the thumb, and on every Amah of Gova, if you divide it up into 32 Amah, Teisha Amos Gova HaGag HaMizbeach, so then you're going to get this Midah that's mentioned here, which is called Sholosh Amos Umechza. Now the difference between the discrepancy between the Midah of the Shippur of this Kevesh and the other Kvashim is because this Kevesh was smooth. You would go up the Kevesh with the Evarim in order to be mocked to the Evarim. The Evarim were very heavy. The limbs that have to, especially in the case of an Ola, that have to be carried up the Kevesh were heavy. And in order to make it easier and facilitate the ascension up the Kevesh, they were makpid that there shouldn't be too much of an incline, that the Shippur should not be a great Shippur, because if you're going up with something heavy and you're going against gravitational pull, that makes it very, very difficult to walk up such a thing. Now, let's just make a calculation if we can. An Amah is made up of Shisha Tfachim, a tefach is made up of four etzbos, that means an etzba and a shlish etzba, one and a third, is a shlish of a tefach. So you multiply three times one and a third, you're ending up with four. That's the four etzbos of a tefach. Now, once you end up with a shlish of a tefach, since there's shisha tefachim in an amma, you end up with 1 over 18 of an amma. And then, if you calculate it, the orech of the kevesh would be 3.5 and change amos. As opposed to the kevesh hakatan, where every 3 amos you rise a gova of an amma, here it would be 3.5 amma until you rise up, so that the incline was not so sharp, going up almost in a vertical position. And that, as we said before, is reflective of the fact that the karbonos were very heavy, and those limbs had to be carried up the main kevesh by the Kohen. Now there's a welt here of calculations to understand this Gemara in terms of basic arithmetic. First of all, the equation to an agudal is that's the fattest, the widest of all the fingers that we have. And a tefach has the size of arba agudlin, which means 6 smaller etzbos. Now, 5 etzbos in the width of an etzba. And if you take a look at the calculation here, you're talking about 32 amma of orech, which you divide into 9 amos. That's 3.5 amos. You're left with a half an amma, and that half an amma has 3 tefachim in it, which is the equivalent of 12 etzbos, which is 9 etzbos, and another 9 shlishi 3 etzbos. And if you divide them into 9 parts, then you give each amma an etzba and a shlish. So the cheshbon tzach hakol is 3.5 amas and another 1.333 etzba. But the general, you know, just leaving out all the gory details, the overall bottom line, as we say, is that on the way up, you had to have, in the main kevesh, a lower incline. Now we're up to the new Mishnah here on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Everything that we've had in this perek, and certainly in the previous perek of Eizem Makom and Shel Zvachim, teaches or sets up this Mishnah of Eizem Makom and Shel Menachos. And this Mishnah basically is addressing the mincha as a substitute for the thesis, for the theme, I should say, the motif of all the Mishnahs from Eizem Makom and Shel Zvachim until now. Just to know a little bit about the mincha was a carbon that came from the produce, whether it's wheat or barley. Generally it was from wheat. And there are a number of different categories of menachos. Now, as far as the Seder Avodah of Menachos, it's very parallel to the Seder Avodah of Behemoth and Ophos, with the exception of certain specific Avodos that exist in Menachos that don't have a parallel in animal Karbonos in Zvachim. But basically, just like you have Shechita or Malika, In a mincha, you have the avoda of kmitza, and parallel to the avoda of kabbalah sadam, we have what's called kiddush kli. In the case of holacha sadam for zrika, we have the holacha sakometz laktora, and keneged the zrika, parallel to zrika in zvachim. Or Hazos Adam, we have Haktoras HaKometz on the Mizbeach. And the Kmitza is when the Kohen would dig his hand, his fingers specifically, into the Mincha, and he would grab together 3 etzbos worth, and we're talking about the middle fingers that were placed inside the mincha. He would then use his thumb and his smaller finger in order to flatten out the kmitza. And this kometz he would put into a kli, take the kli with the kometz in order to be makter on the mizbeach. And all menachos, with the exception of two, are nikmatzos. They require this kmitza. The only two exceptions are the minchas kohanim and the minchas nesachim. The Mishnah says that menachos are nikmatzos b'chol mokom ba'zara. In other words, that you didn't need tzofan like other kodshei kodshim, where the shechita has to be b'tzofan. In other words, even though the mincha has the same status of kodshei kodshim, and they can only be eaten by kohanim in the azara, but nevertheless, you don't have to do the kmitza in the tzad tzofan like you do in the case of shechita of kodshei kodshim, but rather you could be komates the mincha not only in the keren dromis maravis. And you could have Hagosha Samincha. In other words, there's no requirement of Tzofan. That's called Kol Mokom Ba'azora. Necholos Lefnim and Akloim, right? They have to be eaten in the Azora. The Kloim are these curtains, the Mechitzos of the Chotzar Mishkan. As Rashi says in Shmos Chav Zayin, Kloim Asuim Kimin Kloi Sfina Nikovim Nikovim Maisa Kliya V'lo Maisa Oreg. So this is a long discussion about Rashi in Chumash, describing the way they made these Kloim. But in any event, the bottom line is Lefnim and Akloim is identical with the Azara, and the Pasuk requires, with regard to Achilas HaMincha Azara, as it says in Vayikra Vav, V'zos Toras HaMincha V'anoseres M'meni Yochlu Aaron U'bona B'mokom Kodesh B'chotzer Olmod Yochlu. So the Azara, which is Lefnim and Akloim, are two ways of describing that same area of Mokom Kodesh B'chotzer Olmod. The Mishnah says that the Menachos are Nikmatzos Be Azara, Komakum Bazara, and they are eaten Lifnim and Akloim. In other words, in the case of Kmitza, the Mishnah wants to tell you that the Kmitza can be implemented anywhere in the Shetach Azara, not only in one particular section, like in Kodesh Kadosh, which have Shkita B'Tzafon. When it gets to Achilas HaMincha, the Mishnah wants to tell you that you cannot eat the mincha anywhere outside of the kloim. It has to be lefnim and akloim. And that's like achilas kodshim kalim. That's not like, excuse me, in contrast to achilas kodshim kalim, which could be eaten anywhere in the city of Yerushalayim, even outside the kloim, outside the azara. And then we have lezichrei kuhuna. That's based on the pasuk of anaser simeni yochlu b'mokom kadosh. And Zeyel lechom mikodesh hakadosh min ha'esh lechol min chasam v'kodesh kadosh tochlenu kol zachar yochal oso, which refers to zichrei kahuna. So these are the kohanim, the male kohanim, and they're allowed to eat the shiori mincha b'chol machol. In other words, they can either cook it or they can fry it. It's not like the korban pesach that has to be eaten dafka roasted. L'yom v'layla, the source for this halach is lachmei toda, that are eaten yom v'layla. The pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin, with regard to the basa, the toda, that it's eaten yom v'layla, and the same din applies to the karban mincha. So on the day of its hakrav, in the night that follows it, Ad Chatzos HaLayla, here we're talking about an Isid Rabbanon, Laharchi Kesodim and Aver, to make sure that he doesn't leave over the Mincha until after Alos HaShachar. And that's the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah tells you that the Kmitza could take place anywhere in the Azara. And the question now, which the Gemara is going to raise, is whether or not the Kmitza could take place in the Heichal. So, B'li Neder, that'll be for tomorrow's Shia. And we'll pick that up at the beginning of the Gemara here on Daf Samach Gimel Amid Aleph. It's about 7 lines down from the top of the Yom.